That's why we spoke 2 weeks ago. The primary sphere of Atzilus is Chachma. The primary sphere of Bria is what? Bina. Ima ilam akanan abakarsaya. Why? What's the difference between Chachma and Bina, if you remember? This is all different between Chachma and Bina. Bina knows everything that Chachma knows. Bina is comprehension, and Chachma is conception. The difference is, in Chachma, the intellectual eye doesn't exist, and the concept emerges. The concept pervades my space. In Bina, I comprehend the concept. That's Bria. So where is Bria again? Bria is not a million light years away. Some people think the four worlds, if you'll take a ladder and you'll climb, you'll take a spaceship, you'll meet this world and the other world and the other world. It's four dimensions to every single reality. What's Yitzira? The definition of Yitzira is the world as it experiences itself as a space vibrating with godliness. Yitzira is the world as it experiences itself as a godly divine world. Not the world as it experiences itself as nothingness. The world as it experiences itself as a place vibrating with godliness. Here there's a much deeper tzimtzum. Hashem concealed his intimate, all-pervading reality to such an extent that there's already a world. It's just the only definition of the world is the divine identity permeating it. There's no ego outside of the divine energy in Yitzira. And then there's Asiya. Asiya, I don't have to explain. Asiya, everyone knows what the perception of Asiya is. Asiya is there is a world not vibrating with godliness. That's not good. Asiya is that the higher levels. Asiya is there's a world in which you could say there's no God whatsoever. The world experience, this Asiya is the world as it experiences itself as a reality distinct and independent of Hashem. And in Asiya itself, there are various levels and various philosophies based on the different concealments and so forth. Here Hashem concealed himself so much, not only you don't see the word as it is absorbed in the speaker, that you don't see already in Bria, that's only in Atzilus. In Asiya, you don't even see that there is a word. Never mind, you don't see there's a speaker, you don't even see there's a word. You can deny the fact that the world has a source, has a spiritual destiny, has a deeper consciousness and so forth. So in Atzilus, there is no world, there's only God. And in Asiya, you may think there's no God, there's only world. Based, depending on which level of consciousness you're in touch with, that's how your personality will be molded. And thus, the four levels the Alter Rebbe discusses here in chapter 39.
How do you know?
One second. How do you know? You know. I know.
What? Depends on what you're noted to. This is
one second. I stand corrected, really, because Atzilus is not a level of consciousness.
So how do you have
because if Atzilus would be a consciousness, it ceases to be Atzilus. That's the whole tragedy of Bria.
So how do you have Neshamas from Atzilus?
Oh, amen. One second. Good question.
The Rebbe, this man, he's from Atzilus.
How do you
you're coming to a conclusion that this man, the author, is from Atzilus.
Why can't you have a neshama from Atzilus just like you can have a little bit
of it? You can have you're asking how can you have a neshama in Atzilus? How can you have chesed in Atzilus? Iyu v'chayeicha, the chesed there doesn't experience itself as an identity whatsoever. It experiences itself as it's experienced from Hashem's essential intimate point of view. It's not about chesed there. The chesed doesn't occupy a space. Doesn't occupy any data in the world of Atzilus.
The spheres are not distinct there.
Their submergence, their absorption within their source is evident within their own consciousness, so to speak. And thus they have no consciousness.
I think the issue is what you mentioned last week, that So when you say neshama from Atzilus, we're talking, even though it goes through Hishtal Shlis to become down in Asiya, but it's sensing Atzilus, it's sensing its source within.
Okay, one moment. It'll become clear in a moment. So you have what the Alter Rebbe just described. Avoda b'lis eirus dechilu rechimu. You do the. You're learning Torah, you're observing mitzvahs without any spiritual consciousness prompting it. And he says this avoda remains where in olam hapirud, in the world of fragmentation. Where is this person standing from a psychological and spiritual point of view? In the world of asiya, he's the evet k'naini. The physical acts he's doing, they may be mitzvahs. The words he's uttering, the world in which he operates, and for him, what is the definition of the world as it is seen from the prism of the world of Asiya? It's a physical, self-oriented, detached, fragmented, egotistical, self-centered world. His world is Asiya. That's the world in which he operates in. So even the mitzvahs and the Torah he does remains within the structure of that world and so forth. Then there's the second level that we ever discussed. Ava v'yiratiris. When you ascend to the level of the Eved Ivri, where you don't see the world as a physical place. There is a spiritual consciousness. There is spirituality that's there in your soul. The Eved Kani doesn't experience spirituality in his soul. He experiences physicality and crassness. He might be doing the right thing for whatever reason, but that has nothing to do with your perspective on reality. You haven't become one iota more spiritual. And we know this. There are many Jews who can learn Torah for 80, 90, 100 years and observe all the mitzvahs, mahadrin, mina mahadrin, and so forth. And nonetheless, sadly, they are very, very non-spiritual. It almost has not. Sometimes it seems that it has really nothing to do. As far as spiritual refinement and egolessness and so forth, sometimes it doesn't change a thing. It's the world of asiya perception. Then there's the Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri has Ava V'yira Tivin, which means he discovers the godliness in him. He begins defining himself as a spiritual, sublime, refined creature. The glasses through which he views the world are the glasses of the world of Yitzira, which is a world that experiences itself as a godly place. So his Avoda ascends where? Yitzira. It's infused with the consciousness of Yitzira, but there is still no transcendence beyond the eye. And that's what Yitzira is all about. Going up to Bria is becoming an Amay Vriya. Here you're not defined anymore in your form, in your Yitzira. Yitzira from the term Tzir, formation. Here you begin defining yourself based on a truth that transcends you. Just as in the world of Bria, which seeks to become nothing, to be included in the truth of Hashem. That's what Bria seeks. Bria is not fixed. Yetzirah is fixed. It's beautifully fixed. It's splendorously fixed. It has a mode. Bria has no mode. In Bria there are no certainty principles. In Bria there is no I. There is how I ought to be. In Yetzirah there is I. It's a beautiful I. In Bria there's no I. There is how I ought to be. And that's how I become. The midos are not pre-existing midos. They are born from a meditation in what is true. That's what Amevi is all about. So this type of avoda operates within the world of a bria, because that is your spiritual consciousness and perspective on every single thing in this universe. If one wants to give a metaphor within our own structure, you may say it's a metaphor. Asiya is the surface world as we view it. A table is a table, a mic is a mic. Yitzira, you might compare spiritually to the deeper, invisible, atomic world, in which the world ceases to be physical. The world is not a physical place. It becomes spiritual. Then you go a step deeper to the subatomic world, and what is happening there is nothingness and somethingness merge together in a seamless whole. Anyone who's a little bit familiar, or I would say disfamiliar, because when you become familiar, you become disfamiliar with the subatomic world, knows that on that level, the world itself is screaming, I exist and I don't exist simultaneously. The world of real paradoxes, and that's a good description of Bria. But it's not Atzilus. ascending to Atzilus, here there's no I. Here you see experiencing the world as this, as that, as that. In Atzilus, there's no two entities anymore. There's no thou and I, there's no lover and beloved. There's Atahu Atzalai Nivraelam, Atahu Mish Nivraelam, there's one entity. Here, the Alter Rebbe says, it's not about Ave and Yireh anymore. Not because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were souls of Atzilus, didn't love Hashem. It's rather about a Merkava. It's not defined by an emotion. They're defined by a Merkava. There's no I experiencing love. What is a Merkava? A Merkava has no identity of its own, save it being the conduit to express the master of the chariot. And that's the definition of the souls of Atzilus. That's what Alter Rebbe says when he says, what he means when he says, Ein lanu esek b'nistaris. I'm not going to analyze for you, he said, the souls of Atzilus and the nature of the work, because we have no business dealing with hidden matters. Sometimes we think that when Chassidus discusses this fact, for example, the Chabad Rebbe discussed the fact that the Alter Rebbe was a neshama of Atzilus, was a soul of Atzilus, or that a real Rebbe, the real Rebbe of the generation, is the soul of Atzilus of that generation. This gives us some insight into what that means. Sometimes we think that the definition of a real Rebbe, the definition of Moshe Rabbeinu is what? Much smarter than us, much more brilliant than us, much better midos than us, much more developed human being than us. No. A neshama of Atzilus, you can't even begin to talk about. A neshama of Atzilus is of different properties, absolutely. Its whole the definition of its personality is that it is personalityless. We can't even begin to comprehend and experience emotionally the definition of its emotions. This is the Merkava he described in that we learned last week in his site. Practically speaking, if one wants to apply this in our day-to-day life, in terms of climbing our own ladder of healing that each and every single person needs in one way or another, according to Chassidus, there are the four powerful steps. The first step is Olam HaAsiya, become an Eved Kenayni. Become in control of your world of action. Become aware of your behavioral patterns and gain control over it. Whether it is in your social life, in your personal life, in your business life, in your intimate life, the initial step to take in the ladder of healing is beginning to do things differently. Just to do them differently. Even though your inner formations are badly wounded. That's Asiya. And Eved Kenayni. No healed consciousness, but healed behavior. Stage 2 in the ladder is Yitzira. Cultivate and discover the dignity, the spirituality, the goodness existing in your emotions. Here, you don't just attempt to change your software, but you strive to redesign your hard drive. This is the Evadivri. And if you search, you'll discover spirituality within you. You'll discover a wellspring of goodness, of love, of vulnerability, of beauty within you. That's Yetzirah. Yet, the person is healed, Chassidus says, no. Everybody knows that some scars and wounds, whether innate or superimposed, are so deeply embedded within us that all of the efforts in the world cannot remove them from their impact on us. The strongest winds will not blow them away. They're like, after many years, they have just taken root into the very stuff of our chemistry. And those that relate to it relate to this, and I think most people can relate to this, that there are sometimes very deep scars that are just there. They're there, very deep. So Yetzirah will not help you liberate yourself. Yetzirah helps you examine and discover that which is there. And if it's very negative, it's there and it's there to stay. And it paralyzes you. Furthermore, as mentioned, even your positive emotions are very finite. They're limited by your scope of vision. and they never allow you to experience them in the fullest because they're limited by your identity. So here you have to proceed into the world of creation. You don't reformat yourself, you recreate yourself. You recreate yourself anew. And here you have to surrender everything that you have claimed as yours, including the very concept of your self-awareness. The very concept of awe, you have to surrender to a higher truth, to the divine truth, allowing for Hashem's energy to recreate your identity all over again from the beginning, from nothing to something. Bria is always recreating itself. Bria always recognizes its essential nothingness.
New hard drive.
Not exactly. This is a frightening move, because here you have to erase your entire hard drive. Not redesign it, erase it, surrendering it all to the invisible microchip. And it's invisible. It's a chip that's invisible.
It's sort of like amnesia or something.
You're surrendering it to a truth that you don't know about. You're jumping off a cliff. But when you make that jump, you don't die, you fly. You allow yourself to experience rebirth. That's Bria. But it's not it. Even after you make your entry into the third world and the third level of consciousness, which you're only capable of making if you are in touch with the perception of Bria, you're ready to become nothing, because Bria is so in touch with that truth that it is nothing. So you're ready to become nothing and recreate all your emotions based on the nothingness, and then you can really heal and really discover happiness in a way that you couldn't have imagined in the world of Yetzirah. Yet there's still a creature experiencing ultimate reality. You may have surrendered your complete notion of self for Hashem's ultimate reality, but there's still a thou and an I. I am experiencing you. I am experiencing God. When you step into the fourth world, you give up everything. You give up even the fact that you have given everything up. You allow yourself to melt away totally in the all-pervading reality of Hashem Echad, of the one God. Here you achieve intimacy with Hashem, in which one's entire personality becomes nothing but a transparent conduit through which Hashem's oneness shines forth. And the final point is to make these changes in your life. Davening is divided into four sections, because each and every day a person has to reorient himself with these four levels of consciousness. Each and every day. So that's the ladder. Each morning we climb the ladder. And the whole structure of davening was designed by people who knew about these four worlds very intimately, in a way that they can elicit the different sections of davening, elicit the various perspectives and levels of consciousness, which then allow you to go ahead and make all of the above mentioned changes. You begin davening how? What does the Gemara say? The Mishnah says in Brachas, Ein Eimdim L'Ispalel Alamitech Kavod Reish. Zakt Rashi, what does Kavod Reish mean? Hachna evet knaini. Surrender. What the first words when you open your eyes in the morning? Moida ani. You're not feeling? You surrender. You submit. Knan, achna. What's the first words? How do we open up our davening? Hoidu Lashem. Hoidu Lashem. Submission. What do we do in the morning? What are the brachis about? All of the blessings in Berachas Hashacha, what are they about? Corporal realities, physical substances. You're in touch with your physicality. You don't know about anything else. What else do we do in the beginning of davening? It's all about offerings, animal offerings. The Evet Knaini is dominated by his animal soul. The whole half of karbanis, it's called karbanis. You're dealing with the carbon tamid and the other karbanis and the k'tiris and the nezel mekayimin and all of those karbanis and so forth. You're still an avid kaini. You cultivated your world of action, but not your world of formation. Then there's Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'ayla. Here begin Psukei de Zimra. Baruch Sha'amar. Blessed is he who spoke and the world came into being. You start exploring and discovering the godliness in your soul. What is the content of Psukei de Zimra? The whole Psukei de Zimra discusses what? To define it in a sentence, all of Psukei de Zimra discusses views the world as a godly place. That's Psukei de Zimra.
Shira.
You're discussing Hashem in the world. You're describing how Hashem is the true reality of me and of the world. What are we saying in Psukei de Zimra? You know what we're saying in Psukei de Zimra? When I was growing up and I would say Psukei de Zimra, to be honest, I found it often so monotonous. Each day the same mysis. Hashem creates and will create and did create and sustains and will sustain, produces rain and produces grass and produces snow. Each day again, viful is Hashi. You finish one psalm and you repeat it in the next psalm and the next psalm and therefore praise Him and sing Him and so forth. Then I realized it's a whole other vard. What is Psukei de Zimra saying? You want to find yourself. You want to discover yourself. Go to God. You want to know who you are. You want to know what your identity is. You're right, nafshi chaylas avasecha. Your identity is godliness, spirituality. If you're not in touch with the godliness of existence, with the godly energy vibrating through existence at every moment, you're stripping yourself from who you really are. There's no world outside of the divine energy. That's Psukei de Zimra, and that's hard to hack a nine and cup. Yeah, you have to say it again and again. To redefine your ego in terms of divinity is powerful. But it's still about you. You never left yourself in Psukei de Zimra. You discovered that your true essence is godly. Aber du bist du. You are you. You're a splendorous you. You don't have an ego. A self-centered ego. You have a godly ego. But you're still defined by you. What happens after Yishtabach? There's a Kaddish. Symbolizing a major transition, because the transition between Yetzirah and Bria in a way is very powerful. In a way, sometimes it says that the transition between those two in a sense is more powerful than between any of the other two worlds from a certain perspective, and you can understand why. Bria already belongs a little bit to the category of Atzilus. The Rebbe Rashab once said that in the melody of the Alter Rebbe, the famous four stanza melody of the Alter Rebbe that they sing during Chuppas and Chabad, that corresponds to the four worlds, the third stanza gravitates to the fourth stanza more than it is connected to the second stanza. Because Bria knows everything that Atzilus experiences. That's its problem, that it knows it. But Bria knows everything that Atzilus knows. So in a way, there's a very powerful transition here, symbolized in the Kaddish, and then Baruch Hu, you prostrate yourself. Surrender. How do we begin? Yitzir Eir Uvoyde Chayshach. Yitzir, there's light. In Bria, you have to become nothing. There's darkness. But it's a darkness that allows you to be reborn. It's a darkness that allows you to experiencing divine light rather than your own light. Transcendental light rather than your pre-existing identity, self-oriented light. In Bria, you experience your nothingness. So what do we talk about in that section? We talk about, not the regular malachim, we talk about the srafim. The srafim are the malachim of the world of Bria, who burn themselves up within themselves, who are consumed in their quest for nothingness. Then we talk about avas oilam ahtanu, ava rabba. We're talking about the deeper love, avas oilam, divine love, eternal love, transcendental love, which is connected with the same bili beinu, bina lahavinu lahaskil, lishmaya lulmud lalamid, a love that's born out of meditation. And finally, shma Yisrael, Hashem alakenu, Hashem echad. the recognition, the cognitive awareness, Hashem Echad, and that produces Vahaftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Not because I innately love Hashem, but because I meditate on the truth of Hashem Echad, and that produces the love. It's a newly created love. And then you hit Shemina Esra. And how does Shemina Esra begin? Adnas Fasai Tiftach. Before you begin, what are you saying? Hashem, open my lips.
You open my lips.
You do the talking. I'm not talking anymore. In Shemina Esra, there's no I to experience nothingness. In Shemina Esra, that's Adnas Fasai Tiftach. That's Atzilus. Here I'm not an Amma, here I'm a Kala. I'm not a maid, I'm a bride. Here there's you, there's total intimacy, there's no you and there's no I. So how do we experience Shemina Esra? Silently. Shemina Esra has to be uttered silently. As the Tzemach Tzedek puts it in the vision of Eliyahu HaNavi, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, what happens? V'hine Hashem Eivir V'ruach G'dayla V'chazak Mefarik Harim. Hashem was passing, a great powerful wind smashing mountains and breaking rocks went before Hashem, but Hashem is not in the wind, Eliyahu is told. After the wind comes an earthquake, Hashem is not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, Hashem is not in the fire. After the fire came a still silent sound. The wind, Asiya. The earthquake, Yitzira. After the earthquake, fire, Bria. What does the Ami Vriya do? She cooks the food. She creates a fire. She transforms the Midas. But that's all Bria. And Hashem is not there. He's not there. If he would be there, they wouldn't be experiencing nothingness. They would be nothing. If Hashem wasn't Bria, you wouldn't experience Him. You would be Him. The very fact you're experiencing your nothingness means He's not there. If the speaker would be there, revealed in His intimacy, there would be nobody experiencing anything. That comes after the fire. Called Mama Daka. That's the Yiyu. The Amma gets married. The bride under the chuppah doesn't open her mouth once. He just said, you're consecrated to me forever. You're consecrated to me with this ring. Acknowledge it verbally. The bride doesn't even open her mouth to acknowledge it. Not because she doesn't have what to say. Because that's the deepest time. When there's total intimacy with Hashem, there's total silence. That's Shemina Esra.
Are you a Makabal at that point?
Of course, you have to be a Makabal.
So what's the Makushas Tzorach?
One second. Zakta Tzemach Tzedek, this is Pshat in the morning, we say, we bless Hashem, Shalai Asani Goy, we bless Hashem, He hasn't made me a Goy, we bless Hashem, Shalai Asani Eved, He hasn't made me a servant, we bless Hashem, Shalai Asani Isha, He hasn't made me a woman. It's not a blessing that's relegated to the man or the woman. We're dealing with a deeper spiritual truth. Shalai Asani Goy, Yid says, I don't want the world of Asiya, I don't want to be an Eved Knaimi. Not only that, Shalai Asani Eved, I don't even want the world of Yitzir, I don't want to be an Eved Ivri. Not only that, Shalai Asani Isha, I don't even want to be an Amma Ivriya, I want to be a Kala, I want to be one with Hashem, I want to melt away in the all-pervading reality of Hashem and cease to be. Does Agdal Terebi here, that during Shemina Esra, you come to the awareness, Liyos Chashiv Kamei Keloi Mamish, to begin defining yourself in terms of nothingness in His presence, that's what a Yid wants.
Or Shosani Kiritzayim if you can't get there.
He's saying it, if you can't get there, Shosani Kiritzayim. Whatever Hashem wanted I should be and live with, that's what I am.
Because you don't have to become a tzaddik.
And I'll conclude with one vart that Tzemach Tzedek explains, unbelievable vart. Rachel tells Yaakov, I can't have children, I can't bear children. Rachel Akara. Hine amasi Bila lefanech. Here is my Amma, my maidservant Bila. Please enter into a covenant with her, bear children with her. Ulai bana gam aneichini mena. Maybe I'll also be rebuilt from her. Zakt Chassidus, Rachel was Malchus, the Atzilus, the feminine energy of Atzilus, but all in the world of Atzilus. She cannot have children, which means she cannot communicate with the lower worlds. She cannot pass on her legacy. That without the identity of Atzilus cannot be experienced in Bria Yetzira and Asiya. She cannot have children. She remains an isolated, detached celestial soul. So she tells Yaakov, Hine Amosi. Yaakov resembles the masculine energies of Atzilus. Hine Amosi Lefanecha. Bria can have children. Bila can have children. Amosi, the level of Amma Ivriya, can bear children because although it's very close to Atzilus, but it resembles Yetzirah and Asiya in the sense that there's some level of self-consciousness. But Ulai Bana Gama Nechimena, maybe as a result of that, maybe by starting with Amma Ivriya, ultimately there can be a connection with Atzilus also. Through the Bila experience, maybe a Yid can also rise and connect with the Rachel experience. So in combination, one can say what Alter Rebbe is saying. Show me a man who entered into the third universe, and I'll show you a truly happy human being. But show me a man who climbed the fourth step of the ladder and encountered the world of Atzilus, of intimacy, and I'll show you a man who needs not to be happy, for he and happiness have become one and the same. Have a wonderful week. Yeah. Oh, that's a good shayla. That's a good shayla. $1 million question. It seems that Shemayna Esra seems like the most selfish part of the whole davening.
The middle of it. Yeah.
The middle of it. Yeah.
Secondly,
Sukkah the Zimra is much more godly than Shemayna Esra. That's a good shayla.
I was also thinking, why by Eved Kanani is it Olam Ben Taboy?
Oh.
Chassidus, you should. Also, the shachlum.
Why is it the Eved Kanani you own forever? The Eved Ivri you only own for 6 years. The Amma Ivriya you own for 6 years or till she reaches puberty. It's all connected to the same idea.
I know, somehow. I don't know.
The Eved Kanani is a lifelong condition.
That's what I want to say.
It's
interesting. Except when you need him for a minion.
Except if you need him for a minion. Tavi Avdi. The Eved Ivri is Yitzira. Shit Sviran Makananan be Yitzira. 6 midas. Yitzira is the world of emotion. 6 years. He tours Durach the 6 midas and he goes to the next level. The Amma Ivriya doesn't even need 6 years. She becomes a Naira. She gets the Simonim. Why are her Simonim earlier than a man? 12. She becomes a Bas Mitzvah by 12 and he by 13. If she has Cyrus, the reason is because Bina, Yaseir, Nitna Be'isha, Yasim Be'ish. Because she has the element of Bina in it. That's the Simonim. Email on the kind of a Kasai. And then the real mitzvah is mitzvah yud. Now your question is that Shemina Esra seems the other extreme from Atzilus. I need money, I need health, I need wisdom, and so on and so forth. I. That's what Shemina Esra is all about. On the contrary, Pesukah de Zimna is much more godly than Shemina Esra.
Is this somebody's personal?
No. So the answer is, based on what we learned in Tanya, we can understand.
That's the goal.
What was the whole goal of the intimate reality of Hashem? Nisava, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Liyislei Dira B'tachtayinim. He didn't want Briya and Yitzira. He wanted that this truth should be perceived in Asiya. That's what Torah and Mitzvahs are all about. Not to become nothing in the sense of Briya. To recreate the world of Atzilus in the world of Asiya. Saif Maisav Machshav Tchila. And that's what real Shemin Esra is all about. Yes, I need health because I need to live in the physical world. I need money because I need a home and I need food and I need drinks. Why? Because I have to make the physical world a place where Einoid Movadi is present. Because Hashem needs a home. That's the real element. That's why Dafkin Shmin Esther. In Psukkah de Zimri, you become transcendental. In Psukkah de Zimri, you become spiritual. In Birchis Krishna and Shema, you become transcendental. In Atzilis, you become earthly.
That's why Rachel wants the child.
And that's why Rachel wants the child. But you can't go to Atzilis if you didn't go to Yetzirah and Briah. Yetzirah and Briah are very important. You can't travel to the highest level if you didn't go through Yetzirah and Briah, because then your Asiya will never connect with Atzilus. Your Asiya is too coarse, it's too crass, it's too egotistical. You need first to strip yourself from your physicality, and then you can go back. Now it's interesting, I mentioned last week, after Shmina Esra, you're now going back. Yeah? Nefilas Apayim, you fall down, you start going back. Ashri of Olitzian, back to Briah. What do we say in Olitzian? Va'ata Kaddish, 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 that which we said in Birchis Krishna, because they're both in Briah. Shir Shal Yoim, who does the melodies? The Malachim, the world of Yetzirah. Shir Shal Yoim is Yetzirah. Kaveh El Hashem, Ein Kelekeinu, Ein Kadeneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, put all your trust and hope in Hashem. That's the element of Asiyah. And that's why there's again, Pitum HaKteiris, Atzari V'Atzipayrin. It's that Avodah connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Chelbenov, Alavoyna, Mishka, Shivim, Shivimana, and so forth. Hashem Islam Itin, Hashem Yivarech Samim Vashalom. Marbim Shalom Ba'aylam. Then there's Aleinu. Aleinu is the ultimate, Aleinu is a taste of Mashiach. Aleinu is an integration of Atzilus and Asiya. It's integrating the whole experience together. What do you do in Aleinu? The first section of Aleinu you discuss what? Hu Alekeinu Ein Oid. Emes Malkeinu Efez Olase. Hashem hu alakim b'shamayim imav al-aris mitachas ein oit. That's Adnes Vasei Tiftach. Yeshua ben Nun composed it. And what is this second section of Aleinu? V'alkein nekav alecha Hashem alakein alidus mehede b'severes azach alhavi galulim in aritz l'sakin oilom b'malchus shindalad yud. Yakiru v'yedu kol yeshvei sevel. V'kav l'chulam alayim esol malchusacha. Hashem yimlech leilom vod. V'hoi Hashem melcha kal aritz Hashem mechadosh mayachad in this world. Which is the ultimate realization of the whole purpose of the cosmos. So in Aleinu, you're getting a foretaste of Mashiach. Yakiru v'yedu kol yeshvi sevel, that awareness of Atuach Aleinu v'Reilam will one day be realized in the physical world. As Dr. Rebbe explained in Lamed Zayin, every mitzvah brings Mashiach, because that's what a mitzvah is. Every word of Torah brings Mashiach, because that's what it is. It's bringing the perception of Eid Movadi into your physical space. I was thinking today when I was learning this, it's interesting. I don't know if this is the reason. I'm not saying this is the reason. The Rebbe, when he davened publicly, he davened very swiftly. Everything. Even Shema. Shema and Shmeina Esra. You can never keep up. There was one part of davening, the Rebbe used to be Meirich and Meirich and Meirich always. What? Aleinu. Aleinu, most people barely say. Think about Aleinu, forget about. You're ready, the guard to Lizov, you're out of shul. You say Aleinu in the car. Aleinu took longer sometimes than Shmein Esra. Because the real chiddush is not Shmein Esra. Avada Shmein Esra is a nice chiddush. Ain't lano esik min estadis. But the real thing is Aleinu more than Shmein Esra. Shmein Esra is Atzilus, and Aleinu is Atzilus and Asiya. And that's the ultimate purpose. It's interesting. Vayemahu Yi Hashem Echadosh Me'echad.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Now, the Rebbe doesn't get into this here. It's because Lamed Tes is coming after, he said it already in Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. From Lamed Ches, he went dafka over to the spiritual world. Till Lamed Ches was about the physical world. From Lamed Ches, he's now dafka discussing Briya and Yetzirah, because that's his focus, that you need the higher worlds. But it's interesting, this is what about Aleinu? Yes.
So, well, David. The idea concerning that the actions of the first level of Eved Kanani doesn't go up. But how do you explain that on Shabbat? It said all of creation goes up. And also, what are we experiencing? What is that person experiencing on Shabbat when it comes in? If he's only in this world, but also in a tremendous
The Eved Knaini on Shabbos may experience a glimmer of light from the Eved Ivri's world, because on Shabbos the worlds ascend. There's a cosmic Shabbos elevator, which allows each and every world to go beyond itself and to experience the state beyond itself. So the Eved Knaini experience is like the Ava of the Eved Ivri, yes. But that's a unique Shabbistic experience. But usually his consciousness is etched and bogged down in the world of fragmentation. So you're looking at this tissue box, you could see it on four levels. It comes from one of the spheres. Everything in the world comes from the spheres. The spheres are 10 forms of energy that serve as the infrastructure of the whole world. They serve as the infrastructure of the whole world. 10 spheres. The whole world, mamash. Every tissue box, every drop of water, every fire, every speck of dust, and every snowflake comes from one of the spheres. But the definition of the spheres in each world is different. In Atzilus, the spheres have no definition outside of Hashem's intimate presence. In Bria, they're also united with Him, but affected by Yetzirah. In Yetzirah, the spheres are a little more detached. And in Asiya, the spheres are even more detached, and they allow a world to experience itself totally in self-oriented terms. So what is this tissue box? Or what is this cup of water? This cup of water really comes from Chesed. It's the energy of Chesed evolved in physical properties. That's what it is. Yeah. In Atzilus is also this cup of water. We say in Atzilus. There's no in Atzilus. You can view this cup of water from the perspective of Atzilus. And what is the definition? There's nothing outside of the speaker. So to start getting involved and craving and experiences impulses around physical materialistic things in the world of Atzilus is mufrach, it's ridiculous. Not only that, even in the world of Bria there's no Tivus. Even in the world of Yetzirah there's no Tivus. But it's still not the real thing. Atzilus is the real thing. And then in Asiya, what do you see? A cup of water. It's just a cup of water. It's a cup of water that can satiate my body in a very nice way. It has nothing to do with spirituality, with dignity, with godliness. Nothing to do with transcendence. It's a cup of water. When a Yid makes a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Elohim Sha'akal Nir B'Dvari, what is he doing? Chassidus always says, when you make a bracha, you're being mamshich er from Atzilus. What does that mean? Everyone reads it for years. It seems like Chinese words. What does it mean? You're being mamshich oyer from the olam hazal yonim into this world. What does it mean? What it means is, literally, it means, this is it. You're redefining the cup of water as a physical, external, self-oriented entity into something divine and transcendental. You're being mamshich oyer from olam hazal yonim means you're introducing the Atzilus perception, or at least the Bria perception, or at least the Yetzirah perception, into our physical world. And that's powerful.
So even though everything is godliness, but Hashem allowed for a separation...
The truth is that everything is Atzilus.
Yes.
Yeah, everything is Atzilus, but He concealed Himself. In His world, there's no Bria Yetzirah Asiya. It's all the same. Hu levadu hu ein zelasa. But in our world, there are worlds. There's these powerful differences. Now, this is all a Yid who experiences this. But what if you say a bracha and you still feel the water is physical? So why are you saying a bracha? Because from the age of 3, you were trained that before you drink water, you make shahakal. So the water didn't go up to Atzilus or to Bria. You're still defined in the physical world. You happen to do a mitzvah. You happen to connect with Hashem in a very deep way. But it remains in the world of Asiya. You didn't do anything to the water. You didn't reveal a deeper level of energy in the water. You didn't go into the atomic world of the water, to the subatomic world of the water, in the spiritual sense. You still remained connected and bound to the external surface of the water that is just physical and crude. Why do you make a bracha? Because it's your habit. So it stays in Asiya. It remains
now,
in Asiya.
When water enters into you, if you have all the right concentrations, that's the actual change from that physical that changes within you?
Yes.
Changes your whole atomic structure?
Yes. Yeah. It's a heavy process. This is life.
Before you said that these four worlds, these four dimensions, exist simultaneously.
Yeah.
So it's possible that there are different aspects of the flame. If these things are really happening at the same time, it can be occurring in a person's consciousness and one's being at the same time. But there are different aspects of a person holding in different places. So a person is drinking a cup of water, but at the same time a person is holding, according to their kavana, their focus, in the other olamas simultaneously.
Yes.
This olam is a place, the proximity to Hashem, and therefore, since the proximity to Hashem, that would mean the understanding about what is going on in the what is the plan of Hashem. Could we say something like this?
I think you could.
Okay, so that being the case, to say that this man, he is in from there.
Which man?
The Rebbe. I mean, this one, and also Rebbe Nachum. No, the things like this. I travel a little bit. And I didn't start off like this. Results of visit. So the idea is, when people are asking me questions, I seem to think what I see from the videos and from the audios and from the shiurim, etc., etc.
Yeah.
That it seems like the answer is in this gestalt. Second thing is, Rav Nachman is also from this this island. Or I have to go speak to Rav
Nachman. I'm not a maven on these islamists. You see, when we talk about these islamists, there's talking about them and there's experiencing them.
Oh, I know. I'm not even getting into that.
Well, I'm telling you that now Tanepa is not talking about these olamas.
You said at the end of the shiur.
He's talking about experience.
I know this.
We can talk about Atzilus.
Oh, I know the place.
Now Tanepa is Eilon Oasik when it's
done.
I'm not going to talk about Atzilus. Because when he talks about it, you can talk about Atzilus. There's experiencing that level of self in Atzilus. Which world are you from?
I don't know nothing.
I told you last week, you remember? The Shamash and Asata be Tahedihi, Chassidus Taiches, all Neshamas began in Atzilus. Their core identity is Atzilus.
Okay.
All Neshamas are comfortable with the perception of Atzilus on their deepest level.
That answered the question I was.
that answered the question.
But
then, most Neshamas evolve to Atta Varasa, and they assume the properties of Briya.
Halavai.
And they somewhat, the perception of Atzilus becomes dimmed, or they even forget it. Then many evolve to Ata Yitzarta.
But let me ask you,
and then many evolve to Asiya.
Is it possible that someone's come to do tshuva that he can go back to have Asiya?
But like the neshama of Moshe
Rabbeinu. No, don't give me a yo-yo. I mean, I'm starting.
Yeah, then you climb back. But the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, remained Tahira down here. So it went through all the other levels, but was not affected by their tzimtzum.
Unbelievable.
So Moshe Rabbeinu, Chassidus says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went into Paro's chamber and spoke to him, terminology used is, it was Atzilus addressing Shalosh Klipos Atmeyes Lagamri. The paradox. Even though Moshe used the words that he used, and Moshe played with the touched things like he touched them.
His ponim, was... His toe was pointed upon him.
Moshe's reality was the reality of Atzilus, which means his perception of any given moment, entity, human being, or reality was that existing in the world of Atzilus, which is Kula Kamei Kalei Chashav Mamash, that there's only Hashem and there's nothing else besides.
So the idea about Moshe, and it rearranges his initials, it also means Hashem. Although,
Moshe letters Hashem. Because it was totally nullified.
I once heard the Chazal, the Gemara, that says that if Moshe Rabbeinu was taken a walk in the desert in some oifen, then Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hashem Sbarach, was also walking around.
Okay. It says in Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe writes that this was the key debate between Yosef and his brothers. The Shvatim were Neshamas of Briya, which is very, very, very high. Yosef was in the Neshama d'Atzilus. Ela told us, Yaakov Yosef, Yosef was in the Neshama d'Atzilus. Yosef believed in the concept of Jews going into the world, and as he did, becoming the viceroy of Egypt, and becoming involved and engrossed in the world of politics, commerce, military world, real Olam HaAsiyah, not just Olam HaAsiyah, the refined Olam HaAsiyah. the nitty gritty of Olam Hasiya, the politics of Hasiya, the capital, the Washington D.C. of Olam Hasiya, which is the icon of concealment, corruption, ego, politics, selfishness, deceit, and so forth. The Shvatim were shepherds. The Shvatim believed in isolation. Yeah. From the perspective of Bria, it's impossible to engage Egypt on its terms and to remain to remain godly. In the perception of Bria, the two worlds can't coexist. You want to be godly, you have to be in isolation. Bria cannot tolerate the coexistence of total bittul and being the viceroy of the corrupted pagan superpower of the world. Doesn't make sense. Yosef to them was the arch enemy of Yiddishkeit. Their mistake was Yosef was from Atzilus. From their perspective, they were right. Yosef was the arch enemy. In Atzilus, you could be in the palace of Parai and remain totally, totally in the transcendental.
This comes out of the
in Atzilus, since the spheres of Atzilus have mamash no identity of their own, you could be stuck in Mitzrayim and remain connected to the perception of Kula Kamekalei Chashav Mamash. In Bria, there is already tension. In Bria, you're escaping. You have to escape the shackles of existence. You can't be in Mitzrayim. Because Bria ceases to become nothing.
It's apparent in Bria.
Natsilas is no paradox because it never left Hashem. Your identity never left Hashem. It's interesting. In Eitz Chaim, it says, it's brought in Chassidus a lot, that in Natsilas is Kulei Tov, only good. Lo Yegor Chara. In Bria is Rubei Tov Umi Utera. Majority good, minority negative. Yitzira is chatzi tayv and chatzi ra, half and half. And Asi is rubri ra and miyute tayv. So Chassidus asks the question, what do you mean Bria rubri tayv and miyute ra? In Bria, you're dealing with Gan Eden and Elyon. The highest neshamas of Bria, the highest neshamas, Mal Shrafim, this is Shaykh Psan Aveda there. Even in Yitzira, there's no Aveda, there's no Yitzahara there. It's all godly, everyone sees godliness. Yitzira is chatzi tayv, chatzi ra. So Chassidus explains Ra doesn't mean Ra coarse negativity. Ra is, in Chassidus, the term, Ra is defined in terms of self-consciousness, this unity, which is the makar of Ra. Atzilus is Kulei Tov. In Bria, there's a Rubei Tov and Mi'utei Ra. What says Rubei Tov and Mi'utei Ra? The primary feature of Bria is nothingness. But since it's the experience of nothingness, so the experience feature of it is Ra. But it's only Mi'utai. Why? Because since Bria experiences nothingness, it experiences also the nothingness of experience, as mentioned before. So that's why the Rupa of Bria is Taiv. The experience feature of it, component of it, is considered Mi'ut. In Yitzir, it's the other way. In Yitzir, it's Chatzi Taiv and Chatzi Ra. Why? Because experiencing God in Yitzir is as the experience of it is as powerful as the godliness of it. And in Asiya, it's the other way. In Asiya, it's mostly me experiencing, and the godliness is very concealed there.
Olam HaTov in relation to Asiya is how
this doesn't have to do with Olam HaTov. Olam HaTov is something else. This is all Tikkun. These are all the worlds of healing. That's why at the end I spoke about the ladder of healing. The wounds come from Tayu. This is all healing. Tayu is a whole other element. Tayu is something else happens.
You're talking about the way that you feel and the going from experiencing changes in level when you're dealing with moving from one perception to another perception that you're not, which is new for you, whichever level you're at. You can't know. Since if you didn't enter that world yet in a connected way, where is your desire? What's driving, or how could you have? Where's the energy, the strength coming to throw away the other one, which is your only your only thing you know?
That's a good question. That's why the Alter Rebbe said, in other words, the conviction to let go from the previous level, where does it come from when you know nothing about the higher level because you haven't been there yet?
Because this is truly the best, as far as I'm concerned.
When you're here, this is the best. So how do you have the courage, the ability, the conviction to leave go of it? So the answer for that is that if you remember, the Alter Rebbe said in Lamed Tes that between Gan Eden HaTachton and Gan Eden HaAlyon, there's an amud, a pillar. The concept of a pillar is that when you're on the bottom of the pillar, you can see the painting on top of the pillar. You're not there, but you have some odor of it affects you. So indeed, if the person doesn't feel any ray or even glimmer of the higher world, there's no ability for growth.
Which means that even in Asiya, there's a sense of uncertainty.
There's a sense of Atzilus Bria Yetzira in Asiya, because it's truly here.
That's what I was saying. Nisham Tahiri answered that.
Ah, that the Nisham is Tahiri. That's good. In other words, if your soul,
it's a fantasy, it's not real. It's not
embedded in your soul is the deep latent awareness that it will not be truly itself if it doesn't reach Atzilus. It's an inner voice in the soul, and that prompts the soul to go beyond. Which is also practically speaking, in people's personal growth, you see that if a person has even the smallest glimmer of what he's possible of becoming, or what he ought to become, or what he can become, he will not go anywhere.
And if they have the smallest doubt that indeed that's not where they should be, it will never happen.
Yeah, now that conviction may be very silent and even subconscious sometimes, but it has to be there. That's the amud. That's why he says the amud. Yeah, need the amud connects them. Even when you're not there, there's a link, there's a cord, there's a wire. There are vibes traveling from one world to the other world. Yeah, okay. Whew.
In the physical, on the biological level, it expresses itself. It has the same idea built into the biological kind of properties of cells and cell functions, where I see in two areas, both in positive and others, muscle growth, where it comes out of the process, really, when you're doing your exercise or work. What's really happening is that the fibers, the muscle fibers, actually got ripped because of the stress. It couldn't handle the stress. So what it does, as a defense, the reason the muscle gets bigger is because when the body repairs, it repairs in such a way it should never happen again. So that's more
that's very nice.
Mass to make sure that this process that hurt me won't happen again. That's when it works. For the benefit of the, and we all the people who struggle with the weight loss. It's a lot of if you don't do it with the proper plan, when it's detached from you and your whole how you operate, the cells, the fat cells that hold the lipids, that hold the fat molecules, if you lose weight, every time you regain it, there's this kind of chemical memory. It doesn't metabolize, it doesn't change, it doesn't give it up that quick anymore. Whereas every time the cell has to give it up, it's a bit more difficult for that process to happen. Some kind of chemical memories that it doesn't, whatever change was, when you're not eating it, it starts converting back from fat into sugar. It doesn't release it that quickly.
Cut. Best.
I love that way.
To the sant.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is CHASSIDUS.com.